privilege to be here this morning at New Covenant Baptist Church. And I appreciate so much that you are a people, it says, rooted in Christ and reaching the nations. Praise God. What a scriptural mission. And so we will be looking this morning at the Spirit-filled church. What is the Spirit-filled church? Let's stand together and ask God to bless the teaching of His holy, His eternal, His inerrant written word. Shall we? Let us pray. O Lord God, this is Your holy word. We are Your servants. Give us understanding that we might know Your testimonies.
Amen.
You have prayed, O Lord, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. Use Your holy, eternal, inerrant, written word to set us apart this morning to Your service and to Your glory. Show us great and mighty things which we do not know. The sower sows the word. Let not your word go out and return void, but accomplish that purpose for which you were sending it out and for which you have drawn us together this morning. Protect us from Satan, O Lord, who will snatch your word, making it fruitless. Protect us from the world's cares and the delight of wealth and the passion of other interests, which enter in and choke your word. Protect us from a wrong reaction to difficulties and discouragements and persecutions, which makes our hearts hard and unresponsive. Rather, plow up now the hard ground of our hearts, O Lord. Give us good soil, that your sown word might send roots downward and bear fruit upwards.
Amen.
Unsheath now the sword of your spirit, O Lord. Cut to the dividing point of bone and marrow, soul and spirit. Judge this day the thoughts and intentions of each heart you have gathered here. Spread your word before us as a banquet table, O Lord. Grant grace that we might eat of the rich meat and drink of the sweet milk of the great doctrines of your holy word. Give us the heart of the prophet who called to you. Thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. O Lord, we live in a dark and a wicked age. Broad is the way, and many are on it, which leads to destruction. Make your word a lamp to our feet.
Amen.
Make your word a light to our path.
Amen.
Show us that narrow way that you would have us walk.
Amen.
And Lord, as we run in the paths of your commandments, enlarge our hearts that in loving you we might be more obedient to your holy word.
Amen.
Drop your word against our lives as a plumb line, O Lord. Grant grace that we might see how we deviate from its high and holy purposes. Make your word to us this morning a mirror, O Lord. Grant grace that we might not be as those who look and go away and forget, but make us active doers, not forgetful listeners of your holy word.
Amen.
O Lord, because of our fealty to you, because of our undying love and devotion to your Son, our resurrected Savior, we pledge to you this morning our total submission to your holy, eternal, inerrant, written word, And we pledge to you our unquestioning obedience to all of its commands. In the name of our Lord and our resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you. And I'm so happy to have Eleanor here. And she is such a blessing to me. And she's going to bring me some water. Yes. Thank you, dear. You have to forgive me. There we go. Well, we're looking this morning at the Spirit-filled church. Let's turn in the Holy Scripture to Acts 1:8. The Spirit-filled church is not... The Spirit-filled church is not what we believe it should be. The Spirit-filled church is not what we want it to be. The Spirit-filled church is what God says it is. That's the first thing we have to understand. Many people claim many things. But what does God the Holy Spirit say about the Spirit-filled church? Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. Acts 1:8. So what is God the Holy Spirit teaching us in this passage? First, what does it say? You will receive power. What is this power? Everybody wants power, don't they? But you know, any demon can perform a miracle, can't they?
Yes.
That's not the power. God does do miracles, but it is not His unique domain. When Moses threw down his rod, it became a serpent. What did the demon-possessed magicians of Pharaoh's do? The exact same thing. Moses poured out water, it became blood. Satan's magicians did the same thing. Moses threw dust in the air, they became gnats. Satan's magicians did the exact same miracle. Jesus said, in the last days, many will say, Lord, Lord, did we not perform miracles? Did we not heal the sick? Did we not cast out demons? But they were all false. Those miracles were from Satan. Any demon can do a miracle. So that's not what we're looking at for, are we? That's not what our quest is as disciples of Christ, to imitate demons, is it? What do we want? We want that unique thing that only God, the Holy Spirit, can give us the power to do. What is the one single universal manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer and in the church? There are many gifts, there are many fruits, but they are individualized. But there are many callings. Romans 11:29. Your gifts and your callings are irrevocable. Not everybody has the same gift. Not everybody has the same calling. But everyone has the one universal manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And that is, you will be my witnesses. Romans 1:16. What is the universal power that we all have? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Any demon will be willing to imitate a miracle. no demon will proclaim Christ and lead people to salvation. That domain is uniquely ours, and that is what we should seek. The power of God for salvation. What power do you seek? What power do you seek? When you are thinking of the power of God, is it something that will bring glory to yourself, or is it something that will bring other people to Jesus? What power do you seek? But you will receive power, but it is not a spiritist power. It is the power to boldly share Christ and see men and women come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you manifesting the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? Well, what is the test? When is the last time you said this? Would you like to pray now to receive Christ as your Savior? If you are saving that, then you are a Spirit-filled Christian exhibiting the power. If you are not, you are not. It would be easy to heal the sick, wouldn't it? Everybody loves you. It's easy to have visions, isn't it? Everybody loves you. Boy, you know, spiritual power. Storehouses of heaven open and you're rich. That's easy, isn't it? That's easy believism. But only God, the Holy Spirit, can give us the power to share Christ. Because without His help, we just won't do it, will we? So if you are not sharing Christ on a regular basis, then you should. You should pray for the power of the Holy Spirit so that you will begin saying, would you like to pray now to receive Christ? How would you like? What if I came back to this church next year and it had doubled in size? Would you like that?
Yes.
Hey, here's how you do it. Everyone in here begin praying for someone they know who doesn't know Jesus. And you make it your project to engage them with the gospel over and over this year. They receive Christ. You bring them to church, they're baptized, and they'll be sitting next to you next year. And the church will double. Now, we could double this size of this church with miracles and spiritual events, couldn't we? But any demon can do that. But according to your vision, you want to double the size of this church with people who have received Christ and are being built up as disciples. Well, how are they going to do that if you do not share Christ with them? Who's going to do it? It is you, the individual. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells in you? He wants to manifest His power in you. And that power is the gospel of salvation. Are you willing to let Him do that? You shall receive power, the power of the gospel, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. What is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? What does He do? He doesn't do what we want Him to do. So many times what we want Him to do is health and wealth and prosperity and power and an easy life, isn't it? But what does He do? John 16:7-11. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, that's the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Why? Concerning sin, because they don't believe in Me. You have the power of the Holy Spirit in you, and by sharing Christ with others, the Holy Spirit will convict them of their unbelief. concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and that they also need to come to Christ. And you no longer see me, and concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged, Satan has no power over you. You have the power of the gospel. The only thing that keeps you from manifesting that power in your life is that you decline to be spirit-filled and spirit-led. But if you choose the power of the Holy Spirit, you are choosing to share Christ wherever you go. What does a spirit-filled person do? You shall be my witnesses. What does a spirit-filled church do? It is a church. They're witnesses. We want to define it as many things. Well, it's a church that miracles are performed in. Any demon can do a miracle. It's a church where everybody's shouting and screaming like the prophets of Baal. Isn't that what Elijah laughed at him? Shout louder. God can't hear you. That's not us, is it? It is the power of God for salvation. Not for shouting, not for spiritism, not for mysticism, but to share Christ. Everybody wants to hear from me about the power of God except this one thing. For salvation. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, what will He do? Look at John 16:14 in your scriptures, please. Look at John 16:14. What does it say the Holy Spirit will do? He will what? Glorify me. Boy, just coming over to church this morning, I bet I saw 20 or 30 banners and posters. Miracle Crusade, Deep Deliverance. What is that? Now we have Shallow Deliverance and then we have Deep Deliverance. Deep Deliverance Crusade, Fire Crusade, Fire from Heaven Crusade, Get Your Prophecy, Get Your Blessing, Storehouse Crusade, Whirlwind from God Crusade, all these crusades. And you know what, I have a question? Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? I see pictures of men in expensive suits with gold rings and gold watches and jewels, and women dressed fabulously wealthy. I see their pictures and I see the promises of all these worldly things, but I don't see Jesus. He will glorify me. The only crusade that God the Holy Spirit knows is the Jesus crusade. And where is that? It's the come to Jesus crusade. It's to repent of your sins, come to Jesus, and be born again. Where is that? He will glorify me. He will convict of sin, and He will glorify Jesus. But is that why people come forward in these crusades? To give themselves to Jesus? No, they come to get, don't they? And what did you come here for this morning? To glorify Jesus and to go out and tell other people about Jesus, or to get something? To get something. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness. A witness for Jesus. Someone who testifies to others about what Jesus has done for them. So, people will say, yes, I'm spirit-filled. You know what my first question is? When is the last time you said, would you like to pray with me now to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I said it this week. Did you? This week? This month? This year? When? When have you asked someone to do that with you? You say you're a Spirit-filled Christian, then you always have the words of the Holy Spirit with you, don't you? And you are from the written Word of God, willing to tell people about Jesus, aren't you? Or are you? It's easy to say you are something. It's another thing to be what you say, isn't it? John, 1 John 5:11 and 12 tells us what that witness is. And you will be my witness. What is the witness? And the witness is this: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. The witness is about Jesus. It's not about power and glory and health. It's about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It begins and ends with Jesus. Our testimony is about Jesus. And God the Holy Spirit wants to talk about Jesus. And if you're talking about Jesus, you are doing what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. And so you'll be filled with Him. It's about Jesus. He who has the Son, Jesus, has the life. He who does not have the Son does not have the life. It's all about Jesus, isn't it? That's our witness. That's what these posters should be talking about. Come to Jesus. You will be convicted of sin. You will come forward. You will repent of all those worldly things. You will be born again so that you can take up your cross daily and follow Jesus. That's what crusades are. False crusades are come and get. Come and get God to do things for you. Come and trick God into doing things for you. Come and bribe God into doing things for you. Come and learn the magic words where God has to do things for you. Come and get. Those are false crusades. Come and give your life to Jesus is the only crusade God the Holy Spirit knows. Come forward in church and repent of sin and give your life to Jesus. That's the message of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does this by the inspired Word of God, which is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 13. After he talks about the witness, what does he say? And these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. So it's about Jesus. That you may know. You can know you have eternal life. It begins and ends with Jesus. It's not Jesus and this. It's not Jesus and this secret. It's not Jesus and this blessing. It's not Jesus and this anointing. It's not Jesus and. It's Jesus. Ephesians 1:3 says, every spiritual blessing is ours in Christ. There's no storehouse up there where God has held back your spiritual blessings. If you have Jesus, the search is over, and now it's time for service. 1 Peter 1:3 says, all that you need for life and godliness is yours in Christ. The search is over. There's no anointing. There's no blessing. It's time for service. Colossians 2:9 says, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in Christ. The search is over. You have eternal life, and you have all the provision you need to live a life of service of Jesus. The search is over. And woe to the Christian who looks at God the Father, who gave His only Son, who spilled His blood on Calvary, that you might be born again, who indwelt you with His Holy Spirit. And woe to the Christian who says to God, is this all there is? This is it? Your Son's blood on the dirt? Your Son's body in the tomb? Your Son with the crown of thorns on His head so I can be forgiven of my sins? This is all there is? And now you want me to live a life of service to you? No. And so you run after these false prophets, these false apostles, these false teachers who say, oh, there's more than Jesus. How do you think? You want to grieve the Holy Spirit? Do that. You want to grieve your Heavenly Father? Do that. Begin thinking in your mind, is this all there is? Just Jesus, telling people about Jesus, becoming a disciple of Jesus. Is this all there is? He will glorify me. All scriptures inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. You've got it. You have it. You have forgiveness of sin. You have eternal life. You have the indwelling Holy Spirit. You have the holy, eternal, inerrant, written Word of God. Is that not enough for you? Why are you running to all of these false crusades and giving your naira that should go to your church and your children in the hopes of winning the Spiritist lottery? Why are you doing that? Why isn't Jesus enough for you? Why isn't leading people to Christ enough for you? I think it's a good question. When did the ministry of the Holy Spirit stop being about Jesus, the Word of God, the lost, and disciple making, and start being about getting? When did that happen? When did it? For over 1,000 years, men of God and women of God, on their knees in the morning, with their Bibles open, Lord, what do you want me to know from the Word of God? What do you want me to be? What do you want me to do for you this day? Speak from your Word, Lord. I will take up my cross and follow you. Is how they began their life. When did that change to men on a stage with spotlights on them and a rock band and expensive suits and expensive shoes and diamond and ruby rings and spotlights, shouting at God the Father right in His face, in Jesus' name, give, give, give. When did that happen? Show me one time in the book of the Acts where any of the holy apostles shouted at God to make them rich. Show it to me. I'll buy you an entire Christian library. Show it to me. Show me one time in the book of Acts where any of the holy apostles promised to have the key to the storehouse of heaven so that you would be rich and wealthy and powerful and never have problems. Now, there were promises by the holy apostles. Would you like a promise? I'll give you a promise. Would you like a promise? Do you like one? 2 Timothy 3:12. All who desire to live devotedly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Why don't you ever hear that promise? I'll give it. You want a word from Jesus? Great. John 15:18-20. If the world hates you, know that it hated you first. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But I have called you out of the world, so the world hates you. No slave is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. But if they obey me, they will obey you. But they will do all this to you because they do not know me. Why don't we ever hear that promise? So that's the promise I give you. Live the Spirit-filled life, be persecuted, but have the great joy of leading people into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, bringing them into the church, seeing them baptized and built up as disciples. And your church will be filled with people who love Jesus and who love the Word of God and are following Him, not people who come to get. So what do you want? What do you want? For over 1,000 years, this was the hope of the church every Sunday morning. That non-Christians who had been brought to church by the members would meet Jesus. For over 1,000 years, this was the hope of every crusade. That non-Christians brought to the Jesus crusade would repent of their sins and be born again. For over 1,000 years, this was the driving hope of every Christian, that they would be so used by God, the Holy Spirit, so led by the Holy Spirit, so filled with the Holy Spirit, that they would have the supreme privilege of leading someone to Christ and having them pray with them. That was their hope. When did it change? Today, in the name of Jesus, give me. Today, if my church doesn't give me a blessing, I'll go to a church that will give me a blessing. Today, people run to every false apostle, every false prophet, every false miracle worker playing the spiritual lottery. In Nigeria today, how many churches are going to preach, come to Jesus and repent of your sins? How many churches are going to preach, get your blessing? And if all of these thousands of Christians who have given all of these hundred thousands of naira to get a blessing had received their blessing, the streets of Nigeria would be paved with gold, the hospitals would be empty, and all Christians would be living in mansions. Because this has been going on day after day, week after week, in thousands and thousands of churches for over 30 years. Has anything changed? Because that's not the work in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's a lie. But instead, if all of those Christians seeking all of those blessings have been leading their fellow Nigerians to Christ, seeing them baptized and built up as disciples, would Nigeria now be a changed place? So it begins with this church. Do something different. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if any man would come after me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. That's what Jesus said. Doesn't mention anything about the storehouses in heaven, does it? Doesn't mention anything about the secret blessings, does it? The apostle said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 4:5. For what I preach is not myself, but Jesus Christ is Lord, with myself as your servant for Jesus' sake. But the church runs after all of these men who are preaching themselves and their blessing. Don't talk to me about sacrifice, John. Give me, give me, give me. But I am talking to you about that. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not tickling your ear. God the Holy Spirit wants to fill you and use you in a great way by sharing Christ with others, by bringing them to repentance, by bringing them to church where they will be baptized, become members, and built up into discipleship. God, the Holy Spirit who dwells in you, is yearning to do that. Are you willing to be filled with Him and do what He wants to do? Jesus said in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always till the end of the age." That's what Jesus wants you to do. Lead people to Christ. Bring them to church, see that they are baptized, see that they are built up as disciples. That's what the apostle said in John in Acts 20:20, "How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, teaching you publicly and from house to house." Telling people about Jesus, bringing people to faith, publicly and house to house. But what does the church say? "Don't talk to me about witnessing. Give me, give me, give me." But I am talking to you about witnessing. I am. Last Sunday I preached in a church. And after I finished, in this church they had a tradition of a blessing. To give them a blessing. And I gave them the blessing. "By God's grace, you will receive power, and everyone here will witness to someone this week. Then you will sow in the Spirit, not in the flesh. And then you will share Christ." People were upset, weren't they? They didn't want to hear that blessing. They wanted me to tell them how good their life was going to be. I can tell them that. Now, some people have good lives in God's will by faith, and some don't. Peter was put in prison, the church prayed, and what happened? He was let out. The apostle James, who was also an apostle, was put in prison, the church prayed, and what happened? He had his head cut off. The apostle Paul was stoned. What happened? He got up and he went on preaching the gospel. The evangelist Stephen was stoned. And what happened? He died. The great prophet Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. And what happened? He got out. But the greatest prophet who ever lived, according to Jesus Christ, John the Baptist, was placed in prison. And what happened? He had his head chopped off. I can't promise you blessings because I don't know what the will of God for you is. But I can promise you this, that the Holy Spirit who dwells in within you wants to talk about Jesus. He wants to glorify Jesus. He wants to bring people to Jesus. And I can promise you the greatest blessing of all, leading other people to Christ, using the words of the Holy Spirit in the Bible and using the power of the Holy Spirit in your witness. But I can promise you a blessing. Here's the blessing I will give you, by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, that you will faithfully proclaim Christ through the use of the Holy Scriptures. That's it. Now I hope you will receive that blessing and use it this week. I hope next week when the pastor looks out and says, "Is anyone new here?" This sister will stand up. "Yes, I brought my neighbor." This child will stand up. "Yes, I brought my schoolmate." This young man will stand up and say, "Yes, I brought a man I work with." This businessman will say, "Yes, I've been witnessing to this brother and he's here." You shall receive power, the gospel. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, the Word of God. You will be my witnesses, Jesus. And where will you do it? In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the remotest parts of the earth. Everybody wants to be led in the Spirit, by the Spirit, don't they? Don't you want to be led by the Spirit? Don't you?
Yes.
Don't you want to walk in the Spirit? Well, this is where He wants you to go, and this is His leadership. Wherever you are, tell people about Jesus. That's what He wants to do, isn't it? And if you're doing what He wants to do, then you're filled with Him, and you're going and doing His business. Look at the church in Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place they had gathered together was shaken. That's what everybody wants to happen, isn't it? You want to have a prayer meeting and the building shake. You know why God doesn't do it? Because if you had a prayer meeting in this church and God shook the building, what would you all go talk about? What would you talk about? Shaking of the building. Because we are so shallow. The early church wasn't shallow. They were gathered together. The building was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the Word of God with boldness. The building was shaken. The Holy Spirit took control of their life and they went out in the community telling people about Jesus. Would you do that? Is that why you want miracles? So you can tell people about Jesus? Well, God knows if that's true, doesn't He? How does He know it's true? Because without the miracle, you're either telling or not telling. So why should He give you a miracle to help you tell when you're not doing it anyways? Does that make sense? A workman doesn't need a tool to do the job better if he's not doing the job, does he? So a workman has a scythe and he's supposed to be cutting the lawn and you say, oh, we'll supply him with a mower. Well, if the scythe is just laying there on the ground while he sleeps, so will the mower, won't it? So there's no reason to give him a mower. He's not using the scythe. Why should God give you these things to help you lead people to Christ when you're not doing it anyways? All we'll do is use the miracles to not witness, just like we're not witnessing already. So the church needs to get busy witnessing, and as they are witnessing, if they need anything, God will give it to you. But not until we're working in the harvest fields. How about Stephen and Philip in Acts 6, 3-6? Therefore select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit. And they chose Stephen, a man full of the Holy Spirit. And Philip, he was also full of the Holy Spirit. What did that look like? Well, Stephen was martyred preaching Jesus. You see that? A man full of the Holy Spirit, because he was preaching Jesus, he was killed. That's what it means to be full of the Holy Spirit. How about Philip? Acts 8, 4 and 5. Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Philip, this is the man full of the Holy Spirit, went down to Samaria and began proclaiming Christ. How did Philip manifest the Holy Spirit? He talked about Jesus. He didn't carry on a Holy Spirit crusade. He didn't have a miracle crusade. He talked about Jesus. Who are you talking about? Acts 8, 11 and 12. And when they believed, Philip, preaching the good news about the kingdom of God, and in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, men and women alike. Philip, a man full of the Holy Spirit, preaching Jesus, leading people to Christ. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning with the scriptures, he preached Jesus. That's what it looked like in the book of Acts. A spirit-filled man talked about Jesus. What about Barnabas? For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and considerable numbers were brought to Christ. Acts 11:24. Barnabas, full of the Holy Spirit, preaching Jesus. What about Barnabas and Paul? Acts 13, 4 and 5. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit. Well, what's going to happen? They began to proclaim the Word of God. Preaching Jesus. How about Spirit-filled disciples? What did they do? Acts 13:52 to 14:1. And the disciples were constantly filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. What did it look like? They spoke in such a manner that large numbers of people believed, both Jews and Greeks. Preaching Jesus. That's what being filled with the Holy Spirit looks like. Telling people about Jesus. It's not riotous singing. You know that, don't you? You know that the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, who are pagans, aren't they? They sell thousands upon thousands of Easter and Christmas music every year, don't they? And they're pagans. Don't the Jehovah's Witnesses sing hymns? Don't they? Christmas and Easter, the churches are filled with non-Christians singing hymns. That's getting together and singing and praising to God is great if you are Christian, but the evidence of the Holy Spirit is not riotous worship, it's leading people to Christ. What do you want? What do you want? What does God the Holy Spirit want? Well, it's a time of decision, isn't it? Do you want a miracle and blessing? Well, if you are here this morning and do not know Jesus, I offer you the greatest miracle and the greatest blessing ever created in the history of creation. Come to Jesus, receive forgiveness of sins, and be born again. That's the miracle of the Holy Spirit. It's a time of decision. Are you one of those Christians who are running around trying to bribe God, seeking glory and health and wealth for yourself rather than the building up of your church and the care of your family? I give you an opportunity to repent. You'll give your labors to your church. You'll support your church financially, and you will make sure that money that should be going to clothing and shoes and school fees is not thrown down the rat hole of these false apostles, false prophets, false miracle workers. But rather, you are a good steward of God's finances. I give you an opportunity to repent and come back to Jesus and to serve Him. Others, I give you the opportunity to proclaim. Do you want to be a Spirit-filled Christian? Do you want to be a Spirit-filled church? Do you want to manifest the power of the Holy Spirit throughout the week? It's very simple. Do what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He will glorify me. Talk about Jesus. Talk about Jesus. Use the Word of God. Allow the Word of God to convict them of sin and righteousness and judgment. Share Christ with them and then ask them this week to pray with you to receive Jesus Christ. In whom does God the Holy Spirit manifest His power? Acts 1:8. And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. It's the Word of God. I believe it's the Word of God. I believe God wants me to do it, and therefore I do it. What do you believe? May God add His blessing on His holy word. In Christ's name we pray.